Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all my shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then loop up and get on top.
A glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your friends.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
What just happened there?
My stomach made a gurgling noise after drinking, and it was supposed to be in the quiet part. Hello, everybody.
Yes, hello. This is Mrs. Adam.
And this is Mr. Adam's stomach.
And his gurgly stomach, yes.
Look, it's very happy with me right now because I made risotto without going to my dark place.
You did, and you have a very lovely drink in front
I
of you.
I do. It's a gin and tonic. And look, is the tonic special? No. Is the gin special? Not really, but it's a nice gin. Mm-hmm. But what's really special about it is your boss gave us little homegrown limes. And that's my favorite thing now. They're yellow, which I don't understand, but it's not my
Are
job to understand.
Overripe, or is it the variety?
Don't understand.
Okay.
I don't know. It's I don't know. But on the inside, they're bright green. And when you squeeze them, oh my God, they're sweet and wonderful. And I'm very happy with this cocktail right now.
Awesome.
I'm very happy. And what are you drinking?
I have a tea. Because
loser. I'm kidding.
I've already had half a bottle of wine. So I thought that,
Who had the other half?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Who could that be?
Look, once again, the risotto had some. So,
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it was either continue down that path and it could get messy by the end, or I'll just switch to tea. So that's what I did.
Ah, hello, suckers. Welcome to messy. Mm-hmm. We've been busy.
Yes.
We at least have more energy this podcast than we did last podcast. Last podcast,
true.
We were fucking exhausted. And I got to be honest, I was just so tired. And I love Lola Lady. Everybody loves Lola Lady. But I was just tired.
I think we were all tired. It had been a work-filled week.
It had been a work-filled week. And now it has not been a work-filled week. It has been a lazy, lazy weekend, which I like.
Mm-hmm. We had one of the rarest, the second Saturday this year that we've been home in the evening.
And the first Saturday this year that we've been home in the evening and weren't sick.
That's true. Yes. So that was nice. We had a very lazy Saturday night. So it was actually really kind of awesome.
Yeah. It was exactly what we need.
Yeah.
We've got some stuff coming up.
Yes, we do.
We have our next pendulum party, which is August
17th or 18th. Hold on, let me check. It's a Friday, whatever that Friday is. I think it's the 17th. Give me just a moment. 17th, yes. Okay. August 17th.
August 17th. Yes, like I said,
it's
August 17th.
The next pendulum party.
The next pendulum party, which is going to be epic.
Yeah, so if you're curious, if you ever want to try things out with your partner, if you just want to kind of watch and see what goes on, or if you just want to jump right in there and get the party started.
Grr.
By all means, come on.
By all means.
I will get it started with you.
I'm so excited. What the,
and I'm pretty sure the gentleman will too.
Yeah, slutterella.
Between the two of us, it's going to be fun.
I love you too. So I'll probably be manning the bar because that's my safe space. But this time I'm going to try to come from out behind the bar and put my mouth on things.
Uh-huh.
Put
yes,
my
you are.
Mouth where my money is.
Exactly.
Here, hold my wallet.
So if you want Mr. Adam's mouth on you, you
I know.
Better come to the pendulum party.
Yeah. I'm so excited. And then the next newly named Club V, which is the ladies only night, is...
That's 2 weeks later. It's on August 31st.
August 31st.
And we'll put links up to both of them if you would like to come and join us. It's going to be pretty epic.
I cannot wait.
Both of them are just going to be... Yeah. It's going to be a fun-filled month.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. It's August is going to be crazy, crazy, crazy because we're also
going
to Adelaide Sexpo, where we have two talks. It's just going to be Angela and I this time. Mm-hmm. So Sex Ed in the City, we're going to be the Sex Ed in the City folks there. But, of course, Our Secret Spot's staying here in Sydney. And Miss Jiff has other things that she's got to do. So it's going to be the two of us going down there, which means that we get to commandeer a couple of the talks and do what we really want to talk about. So, of course, we'll do Intro to Swinging and Swinging 101. We'll be doing those.
There'll be three talks on that.
Yep.
But then we've hijacked two of them.
To do By Invisibility and By Erasure.
Yes. So the name of the talk is Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
I know. It's a magic trick pun. I love it. Anyway, I'm all excited. It might just be the gin and tonic, but...
Yeah, so if you're in the Adelaide region, Sexpo weekend, we'll be talking twice on Friday, twice on Saturday, and then once on Sunday. And you can message us for times. We can publish them as well, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be just as easy.
Yeah, it's just as easy. Why not? I'll throw them up on Twitter. But yeah, definitely come out and see us. And if you don't feel comfortable coming to Sexpo, just send us a message. We're happy to meet folks for drinks, for lunch, or whatnot outside of Sex, you know, in the city still near the conference because we'll have to be there. But we're happy to step outside and say hi.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah.
I look forward to that.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
It will as well be exhausting, but we will be partying it up with the Bear Bros Co. and After Dark Intimate Wipes.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I've heard that their booths are near each other again.
So
because
excited.
Who doesn't want that view of either booth?
I
mean,
know.
Come on.
Oh, so excited. Yeah. There may be video of the last time when it was in Sydney of me walking around in one of the fellas from After Dark in his heels.
It was the first time that Mr. Adam had ever worn stilettos.
Yeah.
Because you've worn heels before,
but they
were chunky
heels.
Yeah,
the big chunky heels. Yeah. Those were pretty easy to walk in, but these were stilettos, and I was working it, baby.
Mm. Oh, you were. Yeah.
It was great. maybe I should cut that down and put that up on Twitter.
Or on OnlyFans, yeah.
OnlyFans, yeah. So we'll figure something out. Mm-hmm. still have a cough, of course, you know, because that's what you do when you're sick. You're old, you get a disease and you hold on to it forever.
I think that's more of an Australian thing, though.
Some
this
people call
cough,
it marriage. Boom-tsh. Thank you.
This cough that lingers, we never really had that a lot in the U.S.
No.
It seems to be a lot more common here.
Yeah.
But
it's that down under cough.
That's neither here nor there.
I don't want a down under cough. Actually, I don't want to know about your down under cough. That's just gross. Anyway.
Glitter might come out. You never know.
What might?
Glitter.
We still haven't tried that. We need to try that. In other news, I now have body image issues again.
Mm-hmm.
So
why is that?
Because I was convinced by my beautiful, wonderful partner, who I love very much, and I know only wants the best for me.
There were others involved.
Whatever. that I should put my insulin pump back on and go off the shots for a little while. And so that's what I've tried to do.
Because you had more extremes when you were on the shots.
Yeah, well, I'm an extreme kind of guy. I mean,
I
can't help that. I am extreme.
I know.
What people don't understand is I am the little bit of Tony Stark, little bit of the Incredible Hulk. That was my phone. I thought I'd silenced it, but I'm getting Our Secret Spot messages from me. I'm a little bit of Tony Stark, a little bit of the Incredible Hulk. I'm a lot of Captain America, a little bit of Black Widow. I do have the arrow of Bullseye. What's his name? He's cute.
Hawkeye.
People are screaming at me. I'm snarky like Spider-Man. Look, none of them are on insulin pumps, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, ugh. So here I am.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it.
Haven't we had the whole body image discussion before on here?
We have, and I don't care because that's advice to other people. And I'm
but you can't take your own advice.
Look, the fact of the matter is I just don't like it, and I don't like me in it. And I look at myself and I'm like, oh, you know what? I was actually thinking about it a lot today. Sidetrack.
Okay.
I think what I don't like about it is very much a physical embodiment of imperfection. And I realize none of us are perfect, and I accept that. But not a lot of us have that, like you're not a whole person. You're not, like, let's imagine, and I know this isn't an exact comparison, but let's imagine that you have gray hair. You can color it, and it's fine. And so the way I looked at shots was nobody really knew I took shots, and that was fine. That was a way that I could sort of hide that flaw and normalize myself, yes. Which I think, again, we've talked about that before as well. So that's what we really all want. So, yeah. And now that I have the little insulin pump sight on me, I look at myself, I'm like, ugh, I just don't like it. And it's...
And what I think is interesting about that, because while I appreciate the sentiment and in everything embodied therein, what I think is more interesting is that when you are at the club you take the pump off, generally.
Yes.
But, of course, you still have the site. And so you still have that stuck to you. The number of people that don't even notice it until you point it out, and then they're like, oh, what is that? And some people know, some people don't. But there's a good majority of people that don't even look at that. They because they're focused on other parts of you and other things.
My penis.
I was going to say your happy personality, your beautiful, shiny face, and then whatever mantra you're sporting that night.
Fair enough. It's guarding my penis.
But it is interesting to me, the number of people that have said that they didn't even notice, or they, or you pointed out, and then they're like, oh, what is that? And just, but it's just not a thing to other
people. I know. And I know, but you know, I don't know.
That's a lot of no's.
It is. It's funny because I know that's what it is. And I look at myself, and for me, all it shows is imperfection and flaws. Mm-hmm. And I realize that it is all internalized. I know this. I'm accepting of that.
But I have to say that, of course, we all have our issues. And there's something about all of us that we don't like. Some of us multiple somethings about ourselves that we don't like. That is the thing that you don't like about yourself.
Well, it's not the only thing. It's just the thing that's clearly man-made.
Okay, fair enough. Because I was going to say that, like, I mean, for us, you say that that's a physical embodiment, but for most of the rest of us, everything that we don't like about ourselves is a physical embodiment as well.
Well, yes, but then the difference is that that's part of you. It's you. Whereas this is clearly man-made. I mean, it's not even like, it's bright white. It stands out like, mm-hmm. like a, it's like a 50-cent piece.
We can paint it skin color.
Great, thanks, babe.
Or we'll just see what it takes to get you a pancreas transplant. What do you have to do for that?
Yeah, for real. Which would be a whole nother heap of problems. I accept that. But I know I wasn't in the greatest condition, or a greatest control, I should say, on the shots. But at least with the shots, it was something that the worst thing about me was I carried around a man bag.
Right.
And I like carrying around man bags because then I was like, oh, I have my notebook. I have, you know, some chapstick. It's like men should carry purses, but that's a whole different. Anyway, I'll rant about that in a later podcast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's...
Is it time for me to rant now?
Ooh. Absolutely. Please, go ahead.
So we were shopping this weekend. We were not specifically shopping for shoes, but we went to the mall. And of course, there's a lot of shoe places. And then anytime you walk through a store, you have to walk by the shoes. And I love shoes. However, I would say that probably, 80 to 90% of the shoes out there for women have these stupidly high heels.
It's true.
And they're pretty and they're nice, but the high heel does not serve a big function for most of them. If you cut that heel in half, it would not significantly alter the look of the shoe, the feel of the shoe, what it's trying to get at.
The sexiness.
Yeah. Why do they all have to be so fucking high? Why can a designer not make nice, sexy shoes and boots with a reasonable heel on it? Like 2 inches or less. Why is that so difficult? I feel like I need to consult with a shoe designer on this.
I feel like you do too.
There's so many possibilities out there that still look really good. You don't need that heel to really pull off a lot of the looks.
Well, and what I don't understand along that same line is why do they all have to be the same height of heel? Because you look at the heels and like I would say most of them are within 10% of their height. Yeah. Why not do a half height heel? No. You know, do the same shoe but in a half height heel, or do the same shoe in a 2/3 height heel. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a market for less, still the sexy heel,
right?
But with less of a
height on it.
Yeah,
because even when you look at platforms as well, many of the platform shoes, they still have that differential between the platform and the top of the height. It just overall makes you taller. Yeah. It just boosts everything up by whatever the height of the platform is. But there's still that differential between the platform and then where your heel sits.
But what you could do is a 2/3 height heel or a half height heel, still have the platform so that your total
height angle is
the same. But the angle is not as severe.
Yeah, the angle's not as severe. Yeah. And it's interesting because I've talked to so many women. I mean, obviously for me, it's I just physically cannot wear the high heels anymore. It just isn't possible. We've got a friend who also can't for a very different reason. And I talked to so many women who either can't for a whole host of reasons or don't want to because it hurts your feet. And especially in a city that's as walkable as Sydney, it's not like when we lived in the U.S., it was easier to do those things because you would drive somewhere. All you have to do is suffer through walking in and then sitting down.
True.
And that's it. And but there wasn't like, oh, we have to walk to the bus stop, train station, walk from there. You know, it's it makes a lot more of a difference just in pure comfort, besides the fact that some of us just physically can't. And it really, for most of the shoes, would not, you could keep the same look and the same feel, just a lower heel. And yeah. I just don't understand why that's not more common. And it's really, really frustrating. Because there's all these pretty shoes, and I can't have any of them.
So, if you have ever wanted to have a company on making shoes, and you needed a very sexy advisor with big breasts, who's willing to do everything, I'm right here. and I am her manager. You can talk to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just frustrating.
I understand.
Just frustrating.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I don't understand because I don't wear high heels. Well, I have that worn was actually high heels, something they were very difficult to wear.
That was something we talked about, though, too, while we were out shopping, was because we saw a pair of boots that admittedly, I think that they were women's boots, but by the style, they could have gone either way. And they had just a little bit of a heel, like maybe, what, 3/4 of an inch, if that, maybe an inch at the most. Mm-hmm. But it was just a small little heel on the boot. And they were in the women's section. But yet you were like, I really like those. I would wear those. And then you look over at the men's boots and none of them have a heel.
None of them.
And so why can you not have a little bit of a heel on a men's boot?
I agree. And I'm not looking for like a stiletto. Yeah. I'm looking for just something to make me look a little taller. I mean... I just want to look. I just want to be able to reach the top shelf. Is that too much to ask? Clearly, it is.
Yes.
Anyway.
All right. Rant over.
Rant over. Two rants over. We had a wonderful, wonderful message from Mr. and Mrs. H over at the Bedhoppers. If you don't follow them on Twitter, fucking follow them on Twitter. They're hilarious. Listen to their podcast. They are. They're really palmy. and if you don't know what that means they're extremely British. Mm-hmm. Extremely British. But they have
so sexy though.
They have the Southern British accent, which is that cute lilt, that little that little je ne sais quoi, what the French call a certain I don't know what. And it's really great. Yeah. But they sent us this message.
Bradford's going to read the intro aloud.
I'm going to try to read this, and I'm going to try to do it in my best British accent. I'm going to sound like Mike Myers doing Austin Powers, so pull the car over. I don't want you to crash from all the happy laughter that you're about to have. Dear Bradula, we, the Bedhoppers, were listening to your lovely podcast while in bed the other day. It was very inspiring and a bit sexy. After we'd done the deed and celebrated with tea and crumpets, we decided to email you some questions that popped into our heads. As our sexy pen pals across the globe, we'd love if you could tell us more about yourselves and also answer some of the thoughts we had. Thank you ever so much from good old blighty Mr. and Mrs. H. Multiple X's.
Well done.
Thanks.
Well done. It almost sounded a bit like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, hello, darling. Oh my god, it did sound like Mrs. Doubtfire. I was channeling Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, rest in peace, Robin Williams. Love you, man. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's what I imagine. I would love to say that's what I imagine they sound like. But we had a Skype date with them this past weekend.
And so we know better.
And we know better. And damn.
They're a lot sexier than they were.
That's all I got to say. Both of them. Grr. Grr. Like when you talk about types. Yeah. Grr.
Mm-hmm. On both accounts.
On both accounts. Anyway.
And then they speak. And then you're just like, well,
I know. And then you're like, well, great. Now I'm sitting in a wet spot. What am I supposed to do with this? Fuckers. Anyway.
I'll lap it up. Don't worry.
Oh, the unscripted parts are the best. Okay. I'm back.
Should I read the first question?
Sure. Let's
okay.
Read the first question. Okay. And that, so that there was questions, of course.
Right. So they sent a number of questions that they would like us to answer.
Yes.
And I'm just going to basically read them verbatim.
Because we're podcast pen pals.
Yeah. So it starts off with, firstly... Wait,
are you going to do it in your British accent?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
Give it a go.
I don't have a British accent.
Yeah, everybody's got one.
No.
The people out there are screaming for it.
That's
come
okay.
On.
They can keep screaming. Yeah. Until I hear it, it doesn't happen.
Damn it.
Firstly, thanks for letting us have the opportunity to ask you some questions. We're often a little shy, if you can believe it. What's your advice on getting the party started?
Well, number one, you have a British accent, so that gets the party started right there. I mean,
yeah, I would agree.
So it's really funny because that does surprise me that they're shy, mm-hmm. because we had our Skype date with them, and both of them, they are a lot like us. They're mm-hmm. a British version of us. He's loud, funny. And he really, it's clear that, like me, that he uses both of those, his, you know, and he's a musician. So mm-hmm. he uses a lot of that to move the conversation forward into a funny, self-depreciating humor kind of place, whereas she just sort of sits and watches him and sometimes rolls her eyes, much like you.
But she comes in with very witty things from time to time.
Much like yeah. you. Yeah, and it was very funny to look at them and see, like, wow, this is like looking into a very British mirror.
Do they make those? Oh my God, we should get one.
we look at ourselves and we're like, wow, I look all right today. Oh, look at me. I look bloody delightful. That's the mirror responding back. Like, oh my God, I need to remember to get cookies. Oh, don't forget to get biscuits.
I feel like we should be in a Disney movie if that's the case.
Be our guest. Be our guest. Wait, that's French.
Yeah, no.
Are there any great British... All the British people are villains. Look at you, Pocahontas.
Maybe that should tell us something.
Oh, yeah. That's really true. All the British ones were villains. Are there any British... Okay, people, podcast people, do your research. Tell me the British good guys.
In Disney films.
In Disney films, of yeah, course. Yeah. I mean, not period.
All right. Advice on getting the party.
How about Churchill? He was not a Disney prince.
Back to getting the party started.
So looking at them and looking at us, it was like, wow, this is looking into a mirror. So my guess, you know, and what I would say to everybody out there is, look, what they were doing works. And I think what we do works, which is we know each other as a couple. We know what our strengths and weaknesses are. And so things like, I know that it sounds really conceited to go, oh, I know I'm funny. But I know a lot of people laugh when I talk. And it's either out of pity or out of they think I'm sexy.
But between the two of us, you are the funny one. Yes.
Yeah. And you're the pretty one. So I think that a lot of that is relying on finding your comfort zone and finding what you feel safe and confident about in yourself. And I know that I can be sarcastically witty, and my dad jokes are amazing. My dad jokes are level 9 or above. So, you know, I would rely on that. Not everybody's going to like it.
That's true.
And that's fine, because honestly, do you really want somebody who doesn't laugh at you if you're looking for laughs? No. So weed them out early.
Yeah, it's interesting because you rely a lot on humor, but I'm very straightforward. And so I tend to be just a bit more blunt with people. And I don't hesitate, just go up, introduce myself, start conversation based off of whatever is happening, what they're wearing, where we are, just depends on the situation. But you use humor when you go up and do that, whereas I just start a conversation
yeah.
and just start talking and ask questions. I'll often ask people questions about themselves, because most people like to tell you a little bit about themselves.
Right. And that's so true.
And
people want to talk about themselves.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the situation. So sometimes, like if we're at the club or at a meet and mingle, then I'll ask more general questions, not specific, because, you know, not everybody wants to be completely open about what they do or where they live or whatever, basic boring stuff that ultimately we don't really care that much about.
Not in the beginning.
But if it's a one-on-one date, I think that's a little different, because then it is more that we want to get to know you, and it's more just not necessarily, you know, where you're from and what you do, but your hobbies and what interests you, and are we going to get along personality-wise? And I think that's where the humor comes in then.
And I would add to that, you know, ask people questions that you want to answer,
mm-hmm.
because you ask them a question and the 9 times out of 10, they're going to ask you the same question because it's the easy question. Mm-hmm. So if you say, oh, you know, if you think to myself, I want to talk about where I'm from, then you say, oh, where are you from? And they'll ask. And then because it's easy and most people are lazy, they'll go, how about you? Where are you from? And you, oh, well, I'm blah, 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 blah. And you can feel free to turn it into a story.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever you feel comfortable talking about, ask them about first.
And the flip side of that is that if you are talking about getting the party started when you have a date, like a one-on-one couple date, or you have a third or something like that, and you're getting along well and you're just like, okay, how do I take it to the next level now? For me, I'm usually just blunt and ask them, you know, if we're out, do you want to go back to our place or back to their place, depending on who's staying where we are. You know, are you interested in playing with us tonight? That kind of thing. If we're already at one of our houses, then it usually just becomes touching and making out, or somebody at some point will say, let's go back to the bedroom. I don't really tend to beat around the bush too much on that. Only if I think I might offend someone would right. I tend to pull back and hesitate on that.
Well, yeah, and I'm always amazed at that because I don't do that. I don't play like I have trouble asking directly, like, this is what I want. Do you want to do this kind of thing? Mm-hmm. But I think about, and I think we touched on it in one of the podcasts previously, last time we were in Canberra, and we were on the date with somebody, and you went, do you want to go back to our room? And her response was, oh, I don't play on the first date. It was like, okay, cool, which is fine.
Yeah.
You're like, that's great.
And normally we don't either, but we were there and she was really cute. So I was like, well, we could make it an exception.
We have filed the form 31AB in triplicate. It's been stamped and notarized. And so we have determined that it is time mm-hmm. to go upstairs and play if you so choose. Sign here, 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 and there.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you
look,
know,
I got it British again.
You did. And ultimately, if somebody doesn't, there's a lot of sirens going on out there. Jeez.
They heard my British accent.
Apparently. but yeah, and if somebody doesn't want to play even ever, that's completely fine.
Oh,
and
sure.
I respect somebody who can say that and yeah. will say that because yeah. we don't want to pressure anybody into something they
look,
don't want
to
do.
No, look, we want to be pants on friends. Okay,
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Like that takes some of the pressure off. Yeah. Next time I see you, I don't have to shave my nether regions.
Yeah, and also, and we've done a podcast before on swinger games, sexy swinger games and things like that. If you need help getting it started even further, we'll do some more at some point in the future because
yeah.
there's heaps of them out there and ways that you can kind of get that ice broken, especially within a group setting.
And look, I will say as well, and just from personal experience, the person who breaks the ice is always the hero. Mm. So if you're in a group of people anywhere, I'll say 4 and above. So a couple date, or if you're at a club and there's a bunch of people, the person who is comfortable to walk in and say, hi, my name is, and then I like yeah. your dress, I like your shirt, I like whatever about you, or just break the ice in some sort of way, that person is always the hero. That person, people want to talk to that person. Mm. So my advice, and it's difficult, but I think everybody out there can do it, is be the person that you want to talk to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And as far as taking it to the next level as well, I think a club is a much easier place to do that because there's often massage tables, spas. So you can say, hey, we're going to go to the spa if you would like to join us. It's not a direct ask, but it is an implied ask. Or you can simply say, you know, we're interested in going to a playroom. Do you want to join us?
Yeah.
And that's a direct ask, of course. But you can say it as if you would like to join us or do you want to join us? And so there's, you know, a little more pressure one way, a little less the other way.
Yeah. And I would say one final thing from my point of view on this is if it's something that you want to practice, do it at your local pub,
yeah.
do it at your local bar, you know, wherever you go to get drinks, start with your bartender. You know what? They're paid to listen to you. Bartenders are basically therapists that encourage you to drink. So if you're sitting at the bar and it's kind of quiet, just talk. No, it's not about flirting. It's about talking and sort of breaking the ice with somebody that you don't know and trying to trade information that you don't know mm-hmm. About somebody. Then once you feel like you've done it really well with your bartender, talk to the people at the bar. And then once you're good at that, you know, you've sort of broken the ice on somebody who is really forced to talk to you,
yeah.
your bartender or waitstaff. And then you've talked to people who you have no desire to sleep with. The people who you're really interested in, that becomes a lot easier.
Very true.
All right, should we move on to the next question?
Yeah, question right. number 2.
All right. Mr. H has a lovely leather Indiana Jones-style swing bag. We've got a host of goodies in there.
What's your bag like and what's inside? Well, her name's Angela, and and inside's mostly squishy bits that I like to fondle and play with. Oh, wait, he means... So I thought it was a British and been talking about a bag. Shit. I gotta be honest, I stopped listening after Indiana Jones. Uh-huh. So... do we carry a swing bag, actually, yeah. I guess. I would have said we don't. Mm-hmm. But I think about it, we always carry the same bag to the to the swingers club with us.
So I will say that the bag we take to the club is a little messenger bag. And but if we're going to someone's house where we know we're going to be playing, we do sometimes take a little bit larger bag with a few more items in it.
Yeah.
But typically, if we're going to the club, we do take a messenger bag.
When she says messenger, it's like one of the short ones, not like a full briefcase messenger bag.
Yeah, just a little short one, because it has, of course, all the necessities of, depending on what we're doing, any kind of makeup or insulin supplies, blah, 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 basic stuff.
Things to keep us both alive.
Yes. We have condoms and lube, which we don't typically need at the club, but just in case, we always have them on us. Yeah. I mean, I keep them in my purse. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Always prepared.
You don't leave home without them.
No. Always prepared.
After my alleyway that time with that one lady, I thought... Man, I need it. Anyway.
Yeah. Now, so condoms and lube are always with us. We do always have After Dark Intimate Wipes when we go to the club.
Yep.
Most of the time it's to freshen up myself. But occasionally if there's a big play session happening upstairs and like in the orgy room, we'll just take them up there and everybody can have free for all. And that's always kind of fun. You always keep a cock ring in there.
I love my cock rings.
Yes, you do like your cock rings. So we always have that.
Yes.
We always have breath mints.
Always have breath mints. Yes. Fisherman's friends are also swinger friends.
Mm-hmm.
We also always have business cards because we want to make sure that we can keep in contact with the people that we have gotten in contact with.
Mm-hmm. And if we're going not as much to the club, but if, although... For club view is a little different, but if we're going to someone's house or we're going for a play date at, you know, more private environment, we'll often take some vibrators, some of the smaller ones. One of our play partners has used the Home Defense dildo before.
Yeah, wow.
We'll take a flogger or two, paddle, depending on, again, what kind of play and what's expected and who we're playing with. If it's somebody that does like a bit more kink or if it's somebody who just, you know, it's a little more sexy time.
Yeah.
Is there anything else I'm missing that's in there?
You often throw in a strap-on.
Yeah, I like my strap-ons.
Yeah.
Especially if there's going to be some males that I can peg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also we will often have a bottle of bourbon.
Oh, yes. Bourbon, wine, some kind of alcohol. Yeah.
Either a red wine or a Four Roses bourbon of some ilk.
I just stocked up the other day, too.
Yes, you did. I was looking at the bottle right there. That's what reminded me. It's like, hello, it's looking at me. Yeah. Hello. You're going to go to the club. That's going to be your new home.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And then in my belly.
Yeah. So that's usually what's in our go bag.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a lot, but it all fits in a nice small little bag.
Yeah, none of it's terribly large by any means.
I think the big important thing is if you've got specific condoms that you need, throw them in your go bag.
Mm-hmm.
Deodorant is never a bad thing to have in there. Yes. We often don't carry it because the After Dark wipes, you can wipe yourself down and you'll stay pretty fresh.
If I am going to the club straight from work, I will take deodorant.
Yeah, and mouthwash. I'll take mouthwash as well. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it depends on, again, you know, if we're going straight from home or if I'm going from work, I'll of course take a change of clothes, shoes, the whole, you know, 9 yards there.
Yeah.
But that's because I do sometimes go straight from work, which most people generally wouldn't, I would imagine.
Well, we are not most people, darling. All right.
Are we ready for the next one?
Sure.
All right. Are you going to read it?
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
You going to do your British accent?
Still,
I can hear people
it.
Screaming about it.
That's okay. I haven't heard them yet. We love going for a meal with another couple. It can really set the scene. But what would you consider to be sexy food?
Okay, so I love this because I feel like what we should do is what we consider to be sexy food and what we consider to be the antithesis of sexy food.
Okay.
So I'm sure people out there would assume that garlic is off the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. Garlic is on the menu. You just have to make sure that everybody at the fucking table eats garlic.
I would agree
with
that.
If everybody eats garlic, nobody notices that you had garlic. And garlic's amazing. I love garlic. So Italian on the table. Sexy food. I don't know what sexy food is. I mean...
So I actually think Italian is a really good one for a date, because while people think, oh, it's carb heavy and whatever, you don't have to eat a lot of it. And you can have a lot of vegetables.
Some people
you,
do.
You, okay, fine. But you can make it lighter, but it's also, I think Italian is sexy to eat and to watch someone eat.
Because you like sucking in the noodles.
Uh-huh.
You like the slurping.
Yeah. I do think Italian's actually a really good one. But again, with anything, especially if it's a first date and you don't want to have like a big food baby, just watch how much you eat. Just eat a bit less, and because I'll often do that. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what's not a good first date food.
Yeah, I don't know. So I was thinking what I like as a first date food is things that you eat with your fingers. Because I like wings, I think is sexy. Yeah. I mean, I know it's a mess, but there's something... I don't know. For me, to watch a partner just like go in there full tilt.
Just dive in there.
Just dive in there. And they got the wing sauce all over their face and all over their fingers. And I'm like, look, if you are so not ashamed to dive into your food like that, you're going to dive into me like that.
Okay, with that's a fair point.
If you dive into me with that same attitude, then holy shit, you're not afraid of getting your fingers a little dirty. You're not afraid of having shit all over your mouth. It sounds really funny when you're talking from a bi man point of view, but I don't mean shit like shit, but I mean, you know what I mean? Fucking A. Anyway, we'll fix that in post. You know, there's something really nice about like just diving in there. Pizza, I find, is the same thing. I think you can tell a lot about a person by the way they eat pizza, whether they're, you know, a traditionalist. They pick it up and eat it with their hands, or they're, you know, a little quirky. They pick it up and eat it with their, you know, they fold it in half and eat it like a little taco, or whether they're a serial killer. They eat it with a fork and knife. I mean, you can tell so much about a person by the way they eat. By the way they eat pizza. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How about you?
All right. What would be a not first date food?
I don't know. Something egg heavy.
Omelets?
I don't know. It's like...
I would say Indian. Indian's not a very good first date food because
it's
there's...
It's really heavy.
I would say it's heavy, but also there are so many varied spices that while it's good if it's just you and I, when it is new people, it gets to be a lot of smells and just your breath becomes a whole conglomeration of stuff.
True. But there's a whole country of people that consider it a first date.
Well, that's fine.
I'm just saying.
Yes. I don't live in that country. No. I love Indian food, but I just don't know that I would say a first date.
Yeah. It's my thing is it's really heavy. Like
it is very heavy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say most things though. It's just, yeah.
Because again, it's not what you eat. It's how you eat it. And I think you can tell so much about a person. Like people who cut their spaghetti before they eat it, again, serial killers. I'm sorry. you're a sociopath. And if that's you, I'm sorry, but think about who you are.
Sandwiches are interesting, and burgers.
And if you use a knife and fork on a sandwich, God damn.
We've seen it.
We have seen it. Yeah, that's weird. Now, look, if you take a burger and you cut it in half with your knife, because you're like, I'm going to eat some of it now, and I'm going to take some of it home for lunch tomorrow. Already I'm starting to, like, God, you're one of those people. But then if you eat the first half of your sandwich and then eat the second half of your sandwich, and I'm like, fuck yeah, this person is comfortable. They want to be with me.
You know what else I would say is good sexy food?
What?
Oysters.
I like oysters. That's true.
I love oysters. Yeah. Especially if they're, depending on how they're done. Like, I like them plain. I like them how the Owl House does them with the little champagne thingies on top.
Yeah.
I would say oysters are good. Any kind of, like, the fusion types of stuff, that style of food is good.
So, again, this is stuff that you eat mostly with your hands. I'm going to go back to, like, what I want other than Italian food. Again, if you eat Italian food with your hands, look... We're going to have awesome sex. There's no question about it. But we're going to need to shower before we do it. Like, can you imagine eating paschetti with your hands? Nom, nom, nom. Anyway. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Is it my turn to read the question? I'm sorry. I'm now thinking about...
You're not thinking about date food?
No, I'm thinking about dates. I will say a lot of my first dates are pizza. Because I like it, and I think that I can judge a lot about a person by what they choose as their toppings, and like how are we going to get along well? Like, if you think that squash, or in the rest of the world, pumpkin, They put it on pizza down here. It's weird. So if you think that that's a pizza topping, we're going to have an issue. If you think fried eggs are a pizza topping, hashtag issue.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
Oh.
And we're not going to. Pineapple does no. belongs in a lot of places. I love pineapple. It does not belong on a pizza.
Mm-mm.
Anyway. So, by the way, I can hear people like, what do you want on your pizza? I want a supreme pizza with anchovies. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And you?
My favorite pizza traditionally is always pepperoni with olives and extra cheese.
Yeah.
But I do like a good margarita too, though.
Mm. Yeah, both in a glass and in a...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Pizza.
Yeah.
But if you take them, put a pizza in a glass, it's weird.
That's how I eat mine, though.
Serial killer. Oh, laws. Okay. In fact, ooh, this is a two-parter, apparently, mm-hmm, from the last one. In fact, what would you... Oops, let me start again. In fact, what would be your ideal date with a couple? We're asking for a friend, honest. What would you wear and what would you do? Okay, you go first. Because I'm getting a little stressed out from this. I'm really turned on.
Ideal date. So I think that depends upon how much we know about this person or couple or whatever. If we've seen them at the club a few times and know a little bit more about them, if we've been chatting on an online app of some sort and we know a bit more about them, that can help kind of guide what we do. I tend to like, if it's a brand new thing and we don't really know much about the people, then drinks, dinner, something simple is nice with somewhere either in the city or along the water where there's an option for a walk later. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, depending on the weather, get outside and just kind of move a little bit. Because we do tend to like to be active. So it's good to see if they just want to kind of sit all night long or if they want to move around a little bit as well. But I would tend to say that my favorite ones are activity-based. Whether it is simply just walking around somewhere outside, whether it be a park, the harbor. I'm trying to think of some things that we've done, but there's a lot of places that you can just kind of go and walk around. We've done some museums from time to time. Mm-hmm. If there's an exhibition on that particularly interested in, and the people are as well. We've done that. But I would say that either way, especially if it's a first date, give yourself an out. And so if it is something like that, you know, oh, we're just going to go to the museum. So you can always go to different parts and look at different things and then get a coffee afterwards if you like them. And if not, okay, that was good. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. But yeah, I tend to like the activity-based things a bit more. And it doesn't have to be like super active. It's not like, you know, going for a hike. But also, again, around other people or in spaces where you can separate yourself if things aren't exactly going well. Which is why if we don't know them very well, typically a coffee, a drink, maybe a light dinner is something nice and easy because it doesn't have to be long. If you're getting along, great, you can extend it. If you're not, you can cut it short.
Yeah. So, and to just sort of add to what you said, what I like is to do that first, is that mm-hmm. give yourself an out first. So mm-hmm. a drink or a coffee, not dinner or lunch. A drink or a coffee lasts anywhere between 5 minutes and 45 minutes, depending on how much you drink or how, you know, what the plan is.
And that's typically for a first meet of somebody that we've met online. We don't know a lot about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to meet here for mm-hmm. a drink or a coffee or whatever? Yeah. So then I like the idea of the museum because you can then say, if things are going well, look, we're going to the museum. We'd love it if you guys joined us. Mm-hmm. Especially if you've planned, if it's clear that both of you guys have planned maybe to spend the rest of the day together. But again, you've got that out. And so if they want to, they can. If they mm-hmm. want to get out, that gives them an option out. So then if you go to the museum, what I really like about that kind of situation is, especially in a foursome, but it's, or in a if you're two people with a single, mm-hmm. it allows everybody to have moments together. So in a foursome, you know, the ladies can go over and look at one piece of art. The guys can go over and look at one piece of art. And while you're separated apart, you can have conversations with that person. Mm-hmm. And then you can intermix your partner with their partners and vice versa. And so you can get
to know them a little better.
Yeah. And then you can always come back to your partner and go, mm-hmm. so what do you think? Yeah. You know, and it gives those moments of expansion and contraction to give yourself an out to learn more about the people and also to keep touching base with your partner to make sure that everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I agree. As a first date, I think that's great. If you know the people a little, I think things like miniature golf is a blast because you get to learn a little bit about somebody. Again, much like how somebody eats dinner, how they play miniature golf is, you know,
speaks volumes.
If they're really serious about the rules, well, wow. Okay. or if they're extremely competitive, or if they're just lackadaisical, or if they're only there to drink, like me, and whack a few balls, like me, then, you know, that's mm-hmm. that tells you
it
a lot about the person.
Yeah.
So you can learn a lot about even their play style in bed based on how they swing a club. There's a joke there. So, yeah, I like that.
We tend to like those kinds of things with people that we've either seen at the club a few times or gotten to know a little bit better. You know, that kind of thing.
And I think if you've played with somebody two or three times, the best one is an escape room.
I think
those are so much fun because as a team, it puts you together and it's like we have a common goal that we're trying to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And
the escape rooms are fun.
And it's something that there's a little bit of sexiness. There's a lot of working together, which I think is sexy.
A lot of communication.
And how are we going to do this? And how do we go about this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even people, we've had partners who say, I'm terrible at logic puzzles. I'm terrible at this. I'm blah, 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 blah. I'm not really observant. But then when you get them in an escape room,
everybody brings something to the table.
Exactly. Yeah. We've all got something that we have that mm-hmm. we see the world in a different way. And an escape room is a great way to really solidify that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, give that a go.
The part that we didn't answer is what would you wear? But I think that depends largely on what we're doing.
My white snap shirt.
Often, yes.
And a pair of blue jeans.
Uh-huh. Often.
And some nice shoes. Mm-hmm. And mismatched socks and underwear that might be sexy if somebody were to see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right there. I have my white snap shirt. It's my lucky shirt. And once it finally dies, I will cry. I will sob.
I know.
And I'll have to find a new one.
Yeah, you will.
But yeah, that's my lucky first date shirt.
Okay.
I've worn it on every...
No, not every.
Nearly every first date that we've gone on, that mm-hmm. I've gone on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, so it works.
It works for you.
What would you wear?
It depends on the situation.
Honestly, because
I go through, there are times, depending on what we're doing, where I will often push the edge of kink a little bit. And so some of my, I'm not going to say kink, but a little more fetishy kind of dresses. I've got some that are a little more revealing, or the fabric may be a little different. So I'll tend to try to wear those in some way or fashion if I can. But I will often try to accentuate cleavage or something like that, depending on the weather and what exactly that we're doing. But I would say something, that generally accentuates cleavage.
Shows off the assets.
I often prefer to wear boots as opposed to heels, depending. But I think that's also because of the style often of what I'm wearing. But I do like to wear some of the slightly more fetishy dresses if I can get away with it.
Well, you've been doing just a pretty sweater dress with a leather harness over that. That's really attractive.
Yeah, because wintertime, I'll do my sweater dresses a lot more.
Yeah.
And then the harness is a way to just kind of jazz it up a little bit. So,
Cool. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Next question.
Is it my turn or your turn? Okay. Do you see yourselves being in the lifestyle when you're old and gray? If so, what do you think might change? What might you have learned?
So I think the main thing that will change is I'll look at you and I'll go, Angela, Take out your teeth.
Well, the other big thing that'll change is my boobs will be a lot droopier.
That's right.
So then when I'm like on top of you, you don't have to strain your neck to get to them.
That would I'm actually looking forward to those days.
I know. I mean, bonus. Boob lift? Nope. No, not going
to
do
that. No. I want them down there at face level. Like, uh-huh. I want to be the middle of a Newton's cradle. That's going to be awesome.
Swinging side to side.
Yeah. So I do think that we'll probably forever be in this lifestyle.
I do too.
What do I see is changing? Like, I currently we tend to be more attracted to people older than us. Uh-huh. But I feel like right now we're kind of on a cusp now to where we equally are attracted. I would have said 5 years ago, it was exclusively people older than us. Mm-hmm. And right now we're at that sort of swinging point.
It's about
50-50. Yeah. There are certain younger people that were like, wow, there's something really special about you because mm-hmm. you act like you're our age, which I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but
they act mature.
Act mature, and I like that. And then the older people that we like act like fucking kids, which mm-hmm. I absolutely love. So yeah, I don't know how it'll change.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the age thing plays out, because at some point we're going to be part of that older crowd. Yeah. And so, and I mean, it might not be that far away.
Next year, maybe.
But so that, you know, at some point, there's not going to be very many people older than you. I mean, when we're in our like 70s and 80s, there's not a lot of 90 and 100 year old swingers out there.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be a shift, is that we'll, you know, probably play more with younger people just because of sheer numbers and necessity. But
I like how you're so confident that the younger people will want to play with us.
It's all about attitude. We've said that a billion times.
I know. But
we like older people.
That's true. That's
true. Why would future younger people not like us older people?
That's a very excellent point, and I'm hoping that uh-huh. remains. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that'll change. I'm trying to think about like.
We're the ones that would move into the assisted living home that was known because it was a group of swingers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for
that
would, sure.
That's us.
And if it's not, we're going to start one.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, want to be on our podcast? Like, podcasts, that's something that we used to listen to as kids.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of like, I don't know how to say this, but frequency. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Oh, wow, that was hard to come up with. Frequency. I know. Frequency of swinging and how often we play with people and that kind of thing. I can see that dropping down, but that also may depend upon opportunity and who's around and where we are. If we're still in a big city, then there'll be a lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
If we're not, then of course that's going to be a little bit more challenging.
If by then we've built our commune, then it'll uh-huh. be easy, you know, easy yeah. peasy.
But I do think that we'll forever do this. I don't see us ever stopping.
No.
You know, how we do it may change, who we do it with might change, how frequently may change, but I don't see us stopping.
Yeah,
I really agree. Don't. I mean, yeah, my grandfather was a player till he died. I really hope I got those genes.
I think we all know that you got those genes, honey. Okay. So, here we go. Probably should have read these before we started these. It's hard to read them in a British accent on the fly. We've noticed more and more people have something on their profile akin to, quote, "we don't play with couples with bi guys." In fact, some friends recently mentioned this to us. What would be your advice on talking to people with this kind of point of view? Well, my advice is don't talk to those people. Fuck them.
Okay, so I think there's two ways to take this. One, are you a bi guy?
Yes.
Because your response is going to be different whether you're a bi guy or a straight guy.
Absolutely.
However, if you're a straight guy and you just... Because we know some straight guys who are not interested in playing with other guys, but they also don't want to play with people that will limit themselves.
Yes.
So there's a few different ways that can be taken.
So look, my attitude on that is, I honestly, and this sounds bad, I don't trust anyone who limits themselves. Hmm. Like, if you limit yourself to something, because we've talked to people who say, we don't play with people over 40.
Mm-hmm.
And this is after they've already played with us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are over 40, and some of us are getting very close to that number.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are limiting yourself on any
for any reason, be it size, age, you know, color your skin, the shape of your ass, the
size of your boobs,
yeah. Your hair color, whatever. Those people, like, look, they're missing out on a whole world of thing. And we've experienced this. We've experienced this firsthand at the club. We don't play with bi people. Fine. That's absolutely fine. When I look at those people, I just feel sad for them now. I feel sad for the people that they might affect as well. So, you know, I would use this as a calling point to people who call these fuckers out. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't play with somebody because they're bi. Well, you know, I often think about Lawrence, and I wax on very positively about Lawrence, and Jess both at OSS. But one of the pendulum parties, someone emailed Lawrence and said, I'm bi, but my partner, he's straight. He's afraid that he'll be attacked, you know, when he gets to the pendulum party. And Lawrence's response was in writing, not everyone's going to find your partner attractive, and maybe no one will find your partner attractive. So he probably doesn't have anything to worry about, you know, and they're like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And ultimately, and I know we've railed on about this before, but the problem is that men are afraid that they're going to be treated the way they treat women. You know, they're afraid they're going to be objectified. They're afraid that they're going to be pushed into a corner where they're not allowed to say no, or they can't say no. And they don't know how to handle that, which is so far from reality. And it's really a shame that they think that that's the way it's going to be, because that's the way that women get treated. And that's fucking stupid. And as a side note, anyone out there who says that the swinger world is controlled by women has deluded themselves. That is not the case. It's no different in the swinger world than it is in the real world. But that's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, so my advice to anybody who says that is correct them and ignore them.
Yeah, so for us, we won't play with anybody that states that they're not going to play with bi people, but we do call them out on it. We do ask about it. And one of my biggest questions is with regard to communication in a play situation. If you cannot communicate as a straight male to a bi male during play with your partners that you don't want to interact with him, or you don't want to touch him or have him suck you off, or you suck him off, or whatever. If you cannot communicate that during play, then you're not going to be able to communicate with the female either as to what she wants and what makes her happy and provide that for her. That communication has to be there overall between all parties. And if you think that you can communicate with the female, then you should be able to communicate that with the male. And not all bi guys are going to find you attractive. And there are limits as well to where if you say, I'm not comfortable with this, that they can respect that those limits and say, okay, then we're not going to do that. You know, we may just soft swap or full swap or whatever the case may be. There may not be any same-sex play. But it should be no different whether you're bi or straight. You should be able to communicate what your play style is and what you're looking for. And if somebody cannot communicate that and that they have to limit it up front by saying that I will only, you know, play with these kinds of people because then I don't have to communicate with them later on, that's a big red flag to me.
Agreed. Yeah. So call them out.
Yeah.
Again, we're all going to get back to that previous question. We're all going to get old.
Yeah.
And if you plan on doing this when you're old and do you want people to go, oh, I don't want to play with people that are over 40, over 50, over 60, mm-hmm. or I only play with people in their 20s. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's, you're going to be in one of those exclusionary ranges at some point. And because some of us are born this way, that's one thing. But everybody's going to grow up. So, you know, if you don't want to hear it now, or if you don't want to hear it later, don't allow yourself to hear it now and call people out on it.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Well, this might piggyback off the last one, but if you could change one thing about the lifestyle in general, what would it be?
Oh, God, I'd get rid of those stupid fuckers. you know, unfortunately for me, my attitude is the lifestyle is no different than any other group of people. Look, we podcast about it and we're very positive about it. Mm-hmm. And because in general, for us, it has been extremely positive. Does that mean that there aren't loudmouth sons of bitches or people who are looking to fight with you or people who just want to be angry. No, of course they're there. It's like every other...
It's in every community.
Yeah, it's in every community. Yeah. So we're just a subset of the community that you might see at the grocery store or in your local political rally or, you know, at your church or anywhere. We're, you know, the same community is there. And no matter what community you're in, you find the same people. You find the people that want to be angry. Mm-hmm. You know, and that sucks.
So you would change them and make them happy.
I would change them and make them happy. Yeah. But I would do that with all the world. You know, it's like we, and this is ironic, I think, coming from podcasters, we all do a lot of talking, but not a lot of us do a lot of listening.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big problem. Mm. How about you? What would you change?
I would change the stigma in the greater world about the swinging lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because it is, and there's, you know, segments that are getting better. It's, you know, there are places and times where it's a little more accepted than it was, but still people have the stigma of the key parties, of people cheating on their spouses, of it being a dirty thing, you know, not using protection, spreading STIs, all the typical misconceptions. We'll go through them a lot more detail in a future podcast, but that is just kind of the viewpoint that a lot of the world has about the swinging community. And I would change that and help them to see that it is just another community, very much like a church. You know, we're just building a community. We have friends. We have people that I would say will be forever friends. They're family, especially if you don't live near family, that kind of becomes your family. There are people that you may see both at a club. You may see them outside of a club. You can become very good friends. Now, some people don't. Some people just like the kind of casual relationships, but it still feeds some part of you and it fulfills some need that you have and makes you a happier person. And if it makes you a happier person and a better person, then why is that a bad thing? Why should that not be allowed? You're not hurting anyone else by doing that. And I would, if I could change one thing about it, I would say it's how the rest of the world perceives the swinging lifestyle.
I think that's fantastic. And it's, you know, you hit on something that I think is spot on, talking about the relationships that we make, because you're right. We have forever friends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people that we may not see all the time, but I know that I could call them C&D at Swinging Down Under. I would call them, I need help, or I need advice, or I need, you know, emotional support. And I know they would give it to us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got friends that in Singapore and now, you know, clearly in the UK, across the States, it's amazing to have this in Perth, in Melbourne. We've got friends, Brisbane, all over Australia. And it's just like, I always go back to that, you know, to look at this. And I look at it from my own lens, admittedly, but to look at this, you know, this poor boy from Kentucky who suddenly has these friends that are literally around the world, mm-hmm. that if there's very few places that we could now go to that we couldn't call up upon somebody and say, do you want to grab a drink? And they wouldn't say, absolutely. And we've got friends that who had traveled distances to see us, which is more than people that I went to high school and elementary with.
Some of our family.
Exactly. I have family that wouldn't basically cross the road to see me when I'd come in from Australia to the States. But I've got friends that would come down from,
hours away,
4 or 5 hours away. They'll come down to see me or fly to see me if I'm in the States. And that's something that's really exciting about that. And that's it's such a great community, and it can be a great community.
It's also interesting because we have met so many people from different walks of life that otherwise we never would have.
Yeah.
And so just the variety of people that we meet. And I know that we were traveling recently and, you know, my boss was like, oh, you know, where are you going? And I told him and he's like, oh, what are you going to do down there? And I was like, oh, just, you know, going away for the weekend. We're going to see some friends. And he's like, you have friends everywhere. I know we do.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
We have friends in every major metropolitan area in Australia, which is kind of amazing. That to me right there, it just shows the reach that you can have. Mm. And yeah, it's something that, and when I say friends, I'm talking about people that I would have over to my house.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that says a lot about the quality of friendships that you can create.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, we have one more.
All right. Do we?
Yes, we do. Do you want me to read it? Do you have it?
Oh, yes, I see it now. And finally,
as self-confessed nerds, we'd love to know your favorite movie, game, and TV show. Ho, ho, ho. You first.
So I can start with a game.
Okay.
I would say my favorite game is the Legendary Games.
Okay, yeah,
so
yeah.
So we started with the Marvel.
Yes.
We have quite a few expansion packs on that
Dark
one.
Dark City, Marvel, uh-huh. All the expansion packs, yeah.
Yeah.
Alien.
We have the Alien Legendary and the new one, the Buffy Legendary.
Which you saw on Twitter the other day.
Yes, we have yet to play it, but will be happening soon.
The cards are divided. Mm-hmm. They're organized.
It's all set up, ready to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Legendary game to me is fun because it's something that we can do. It is both competitive, but also it's a cooperative game, and I like those where there is some cooperation but you have to be really strategic to win over the other people. I like that.
Deck building games are fun.
Yeah. So I would say that's probably my favorite if I had to pick one above all the others.
Okay. And your favorite television show?
That's tough. I have a hard time picking favorites out of these things. I will say the ones that I tend to go back to more than others, or that I request, are there any new ones of these ones? And you can fill in with whatever other ones there are.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got Simpsons and Archer. Those are mainstays. You can watch those over and over and over again, and they're still fucking hilarious. But then things like iZombie, Grimm, that type of show, I really like those.
Which is so weird, because you're not, you always, it's too fantastic. You won't watch Buffy, because it's too fantastical. You'll watch Grimm and iZombie.
But I'll tell you the difference. And I've gotten better with Buffy. But the difference to me is that iZombie and Grimm are so far to me that they can't be real. Now, we're not going to argue the merits of whether they could or couldn't. That's neither here nor there. That's not for this podcast. But they're a little more fantastical that they're outside of that realm of reality, whereas Buffy tries to be real, but it's not really real. So it's that weird kind of in-between zone for me. I have gotten better with it, and I have requested it a bit more lately.
It's true.
But yeah, I would say that those are the types of TV shows that I tend to like. I like either the really kind of silly comedy ones, maybe still a little thought involved, but and then or the really, really fantastical ones.
And movies?
I don't know what I would say my overall favorite movie is. I can tell you which one I watch the most times.
Okay. Oh my God, is it the Big Lebowski?
It's the Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski. I've seen Super Troopers a number of times. I have not seen the second one yet.
I knew it was either Big Lebowski or Super Troopers.
Yes. I've seen both of those
You're
a lot.
You're really not a pothead, though. How are those your top two movies?
I'm not going to say they're my favorites. They're just what I've seen the most times. Because you can watch them over and over again, and they're dumb, but they're still funny.
I like the Big Lebowski. It's a funny,
yeah,
funny
so,
movie.
Yeah, Big Lebowski, I've probably seen well over 20 times. Super Troopers has got to be at least 7 or 8, probably double digits at this point, but I don't know what I would say favorite is, but those are definitely, I would say, the most seen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, most watched.
How about your favorite book? They didn't ask that, but that's a good one.
To Kill a Mockingbird. That's one that I read from time to time. Yeah. Really love that one.
I like Tequila Mockingbird as
well. Slaughterhouse-Five. Yeah. I read that one for the first time in college, and I just, I love
it. I read that one ages ago. I need to give that one another go. That's the next one up on my reading list, I think.
Yeah.
So for me, I would say my favorite game. That's so tough because I love games, but my
would
favorite
it be a video game or a board game.
That's a great question. So like, video games. I love the Fallout series. Like, mm-hmm. I love those first person shooters that are a little more RPG ish, and you're building a character. And I like those games where you can play either, like, because most of those games you're like, most people, oh, I'm gonna go in and shoot everything. Well, I'm like, give me a sniper rifle and let me pick people off. That's the way I like to do it, which is probably why you and I like each other so much. So I like that as my video game. Board game, I don't know, it's a lot tougher because we've got that game that I really love that we haven't played in a while that we need to pull back out, about the carnival, the where you're building the theme park. It's actually called Theme Park, isn't it?
No.
She's going to the closet to look it up. I'm watching her. If you could see her. My God, if you could see her ass. It's at the top left.
Unfair.
Unfair. There you go. Unfair. It's a strategic, it was a Kickstarter game that is probably I love Kickstarter games. I'm a sucker. If you come up with a great Kickstarter idea, I'm all about that shit. But it's a great strategic game where you're trying to build a theme park. I love it. And you're trying to cheat the other person.
To build yours while tearing theirs down.
Yeah, it's unfair. Love that game. So much fun. A little bit of strategy, a lot of fun. I will say I also love Cards Against Humanity and Joking Hazard as party games are both so much fun. And those are actually great icebreakers as well. Everybody's played Cards Against Humanity, but Joking Hazard, very few people have played. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so television shows, Rick and Morty, Archer, Simpsons. Those top three, I could watch them over and over and over again and never get tired. I also like procedurals. I love NCIS, CSI. I mean, they're dumb as hell. And if you watch more than one of them, it's the same fucking show over and over again. I don't care. I love it. If the characters are compelling, I still love them. Even shows like Lucifer, which is, I don't care what you say, it's a procedural. But it's such a fun show that I'm very forgiving of those, those hour-long procedurals. I don't like courtroom shows, though. I like the police and the... let's find a bad guy. I don't want to see you put the bad guy in jail. I don't care about that shit. Yeah.
No Matlock.
So those are my favorite types of TV shows. Just I can turn my brain off and just watch them. Movie, Jaws. Jaws is my favorite movie. Yeah. I love Jaws. I think that when it comes to great cinematography and the acting, and I like everything about Jaws. There's nothing that I don't like about Jaws. I think it's a beautiful movie. I'm also a sucker for any Jurassic movie, even the shit ones that I still love them. I mean, they're great. I like horror movies. I like to be scared. The Alien trilogy is amazing.
I really liked Hush.
Hush was really good. Yeah. Because side note, random microphone people who don't live in Australia, seek out New Zealand movies.
New Zealand horror films.
New Zealand horror films, they understand isolation, which... It's starting to become a thing in the U.S. So that whole isolation thing, and I think A Quiet Place is a perfect example of that as a mainstream American movie that understands isolationism. New Zealanders have been doing it for the last 30 years.
They have some really good ones.
Yeah, Hush, the Black Sheep is another great one. The one where she's at home and...
I don't know the name of that
She's under house arrest, which is another great movie. And then What We Do in Shadows, which is Big Brother, but if they were all vampires. It's fucking hilarious. So we are werewolves, not swearwolves. Anyway, so go seek out New Zealand movies. They do wonderful movies. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we've rambled on about non-sexy things on a sexy podcast for way too long. Let's wrap up.
Okay.
So... Thank you so, so much to the Bedhoppers, Mr. and Mrs. H, for, giving us reaching out and doing this podcast pen pals project. The four Ps that we're going to try to get other podcasts to do. So if you're a podcaster and you're listening to this right now, pick your favorite podcast that you listen to. Send them a series of questions and have them answer those on air because it's great because it's cross promotion as well, which we love.
Yeah.
So the Bedhoppers, they have... their podcasts, which you can find wherever podcasts are found. They are also on Twitter. They are on Twitter at Bedhoppers UK because they're clearly British. And on your podcast app, whoops.
It's Bedhoppers.
Yeah, it is just Bedhoppers swinging in the UK.
Yes.
So... thank you so much to them for sending us these questions.
Yeah, it was fun.
Go listen to their podcast. They're extremely clever. I'm going to say he. I'm pretty sure it was just him. Wrote their intro song and is playing it on a ukulele. So if you're like me and you're a ukulele slut, go listen to them. They're fucking hilarious. For us, if you want to contact us, we are theatomsoflove@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at By The By Podcast or online, www.bytheby.com.au.
And if you want to see us in person, I think there are still maybe a couple of rooms left at Passion in Paradise.
That's right. In
Port Douglas. In October?
Yes, I think they're down to two rooms, maybe one room.
So if you're interested, express your interest and get on that. And then we'll also be at Desire, Life on the Swing Set Takeover Yep. That's going to be the first week of November, the 3rd through the 10th.
Yep.
We'll let Cooper tell you a little, and gang, tell you a little bit about it now.
Life on the Swing Set is heading to paradise for the 7th time, and once again, we're taking over Desire Resort Riviera Maya in Cancun, Mexico.
With this year's hosts, me, Cooper, Ginger, Dylan, JV and Char from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, and author, podcaster, and feminist porn filmmaker Tristan Taramino, our takeover allows us to mold the resort in our geeky, sexy, and inclusive image with orgies, classes about pegging, flogging, and fisting, theme nights, a full dungeon night, naked karaoke, mutual masturbation, and massages.
From November 3rd through the 10th, 2018, this beautiful all-inclusive resort will be full of sexy swing setters from every letter in the LGBTQA spectrum. Poly, swingers, nudists, kinksters, doms, subs, and those who are just curious about what a week at a sexy resort offers.
We take all the best of the swing set. Our values, our experience, our co-hosts, our community, and we bring it all together with the best resort staff on earth to create a queer, kink, and poly-friendly, consent-aware, and sexy-as-hell experience for everyone who joins us.
To come with us on our Swing Set Takes Desire 2018 trip and hear us podcast about our previous trips, head over to ssdesire.com. We'll be there to welcome you home.
Awesome. And then the following week, we're going to be at Desire Pearl. That's Pearl, the other yeah. one. So that'll be November 10th to 17th.
With the Joneses and C&D. And I think there's a couple of other people yep. here that you may some have heard some questions things, from yeah. that might be there as well. So hint, hint, hint. Definitely make sure they go check that out. Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. We're excited for that. We're also going to be at Adelaide, of course, at Sexpo mm-hmm. if you're in Australia.
Yeah, let us know if you're going to be down there.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll catch up.
We'll definitely, yeah, we want to say hi to you and give you hugs. Mm-hmm. So,
And I do know, speaking of which, uh-oh. There are a few folks that are going to be in the Adelaide area that we've seen at the club. Ooh. So, hello, folks. See
you if know we what we can should do? Meet up. Maybe we should try to do a meet and mingle at one of the local bars after Sexpo one right, night.
Let's look at schedules.
All right, we're going to look at schedules, and either Friday or Saturday night, we'll figure it out. We'll do an Adelaide meet and mingle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I gotta see when our talks are, but yeah.
It may be after our talks, but just be patient. So yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So definitely, yeah, reach out to us, give your questions, comments, and remarks. And I reckon we'll come see us at Club V. Clubs, yes. Come see us at Pendulum. And yeah, we'll speak to you soon.
Yes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.